Welcome to the Wheat Profit Podcast. I am Aiden Sandin, a policy analyst with Sask Wheat, and today we are going to be talking about grain contracts. The Canadian Canola Growers Association, or CCGA, has now published the fourth edition of its Practical Guide to Navigating Grain Contracts. Today we have with us Janelle Whiteley, Senior Manager of Trade and Marketing Policy with CCGA, as our guest. Welcome, Janelle. We're glad to have you here with us.
Thanks, Aiden, and big thanks to Sask Wheat for inviting me here today and thinking about CCJ for your Wheat Profit podcast.
So to kick things off, could you provide a bit of background on the CCGA and yourself, as well as your role and involvement with the guide?
Yeah, and thanks, and definitely. So CCJ is a national association that represents canola farmers on various issues that impact their farm success. So we are made up of the different provincial canola associations. So in Saskatchewan, Sask Canola is a member of CCGA. So, you know, we promote farmer success in two ways. One, we are an administrator of the advanced payment program on behalf of Agriculture and Agri-Food Canada. And then we also advocate with farmers from policy development, collaborate with industry, as well as outreach with government officials, mainly in Ottawa, so at a national level. So I work in our policy development department or shop here, and I lead our work on marketing. So marketing for CCJ is essentially advocating for a competitive market to grow and sell canola. So grain contracts are a large piece of our work. So in terms of the guide, you know, our work in the contract space, actually has very similar origins to, you know, the Sask Wheat, your resolution that was passed in 2022, and I believe also at other crop commissions, where, you know, we were asked by one of our members to look at grain contracts and to explore ways that we can inject more balance into the process. So this was, you know, back in 2013, 2014. So, you know, at the time, we went out, we engaged some legal expertise to help us better understand contracts. We started collecting contracts to understand what was included in them, a process that, you know, we've continued on to this day, and really to look at, you know, the language, to see what terms are, you know, what was common between contracts, you know, where there was red flags for farmers, what some of the risks were involved. And then, you know, based on that work, you know, we decided to turn that into a guide and share it more largely with farmers. So that's really the origin of our Practical Guide to Navigating Grain Contracts. And really our objective with it is, you know, to increase, you know, transparency in the grain contracting process and, you know, to provide and to empower farmers with information, you know, when they're signing and executing contracts. And, you know, if the guide, you know, can help in our larger conversation about how to create more balance, then, you know, it's also an information source to do so.
Great. And so, as you mentioned, the guide kind of began in that 2013, 2014. So, you know, what have been some of the most noteworthy changes that have occurred since kind of its first publication?
Yeah, and it's a really good question, and, you know, one that's always interesting to look back in. So, you know, we are quite proud to, you know, publish our fourth edition, which we published in fall of 2022. The new design has a whole new look and feel to it. So we really did kind of rebrand it, and it's now, you know, housed on a dedicated site called knowyourgrade.ca that we also developed around some grading resources for canola farmers. The guide and, you know, what you could expect in some is really a compilation of, you know, our contract reviews over the years. So, you know, the guide has examples of contract language in it. So, you know, changes to language that we've seen over the years, legal expertise that we've thought on questions that we've received. And it, you know, the content too is very much evolved based on, you know, what we've learned from farmers, because it's really farmers and their experience on the ground who are out there signing and executing the contract. So that's really kind of what the content or how the guide has come to be. So the guide is, you know, it follows a very similar format to a grain contract, you know, where we walk through, you know, what your expectations are for quality. It goes into the delivery terms, you know, the change of location, the ability to extend delivery periods. You know, then it talks a little bit about liquidated damages and around, you know, termination and contract shortfalls and some options that farmers have should they find themselves, you know, in a short situation. So the 2014 guide, does include, you know, more questions that farmers can ask their grain companies, you know, includes more information on those production shortfalls, some more expanded language on the different liquidated damage clauses on the market. So we've really tried to take what we learned in 2021 and add it to the guide. It also has an extended section on grading and some of the producer protections that are available to, you know, any, you know, farmers underneath the Canadian Grain Commission. But I think also just, you know, maybe more largely, you know, the contract also, when we started down this route back in, you know, 2014, you know, contracts they weren't as widespread as they were today. The marketing environment on the prairies was quite different. So I think, you know, 10 years later, close to 10 years later, farmers' awareness of grain contracts and what's included in them has also evolved substantially.
So my next question here, you know, obviously one of the most basic and important pieces of advice in the guide was to read through the entirety of grain contracts. And so could you maybe review why this is so important? And, you know, and also if a producer is signing the same contracts with the same grain companies every year, if it is still necessary for them to make sure that they read through that entire grain contract each and every time.
Yeah, and thanks. And I think one of the most important lessons that, you know, we've learned from our work on grain contracts, that it's really important to read your entire grain contract. So that includes both that sales portion and the small print terms and conditions that are often, you know, accompany a contract. And those terms and conditions, you know, lay out both the obligations for the seller and the buyer to execute the grain contract. So it really is important because those terms do contain many of the details that, you know, farmers have questions on, especially around quality, you know, delivery and liquidated damages. So based on our analysis over the years, you know, grain contracts, you know, there is significant variability between companies on the market. So there is, you know, the potential to shop around and find terms that may work better for your farm. There's also, you know, contract terms can change from year to year, and there's, you know, not, you know, without notice to the farmer themselves. So, you know, it just as part of, you know, general farm management, contract management practice is just to get into the habit of reading and regularly reviewing your grain contract. So either at the start of the crop year, the new year starts, you know, if you're changing grain buyers or if you're changing commodities, it's just a good practice to get into and to fully understand what you're signing and what you're understanding and agreeing to do.
And so thank you for that. It's obviously important that, you know, producers read through grain contracts and all contracts for that matter. But out of curiosity, how many producers, you know, do read through their entire contracts?
Yeah, and that's a really good question and one that we've tried to get a handle on over the years. So, you know, as a contract, it's a legal transaction between a buyer and a seller. So statistics on grain contracts are not regularly available. So we actually have very little knowledge on, you know, the percentage of grain that's forward contracted or how many contracts are signed per year or, you know, types of contracts or, you know, in 2021, we were asked a lot about how many defaults, and, you know, we don't have that information with the statistics that are available. So that also transcends then to how many farmers read their entire contract. So, you know, there was a formal survey that was done out of the University of Manitoba, you know, back in 2013, 2014, and repeated in 2015, and basically found that about roughly 20% of farmers read their entire grain contract. And a slightly to maybe a smaller percentage, you know, read none of it. So most farmers, you know, are reading, you know, some or most of it. And last week when I was presenting at Crossroads in Edmonton, we kind of did a straw poll of the audience, and, you know, the respondents, you know, really much supported that, where, you know, majority of farmers are not reading their entire grain contract.
And so when it comes to actually selling grain, business usually begins with a phone call or a conversation between the farmer and the grain rep. You know, but are these verbal agreements enough to hold up?
Yeah, so a verbal agreement, you know, is considered a legal agreement if it meets certain conditions. But the problem is should there be an issue that arises, or, you know, if there's a need to recall the negotiation, it really becomes a game of he said, she said. And then, you know, where is the evidence to support either claim? So it's very difficult to kind of prove that that verbal agreement, you know, did occur. I think, moreover, many of the contracts on the market contain something that's known as an entire agreement clause. And this clause essentially, you know, prevents the grain company from being held liable or responsible for any promise or agreement that was made by their grain representative or buyer handler in the country that's not explicitly included in the contract. So the agreement needs to be in writing in the contract.
Right. So get everything in writing. That's a good safeguard for sure. And so I guess, you know, on the topic of kind of disputing between sellers and buyers of grain, grading is a common area where typically there are disagreements between producers and grain buyers. And so what are some of the potential risks that farmers should be aware of regarding, you know, variations in quality or grade, and how those disputes will be handled?
Yeah, and I think that's also, you know, a really good question, because grading is definitely, you know, a question that we hear regularly from farmers, both in terms of what's included in the contract and in grading more generally. So essentially the way that contracts are written is, you know, a grain buyer doesn't need to accept, you know, any, you know, a different grade, you know, protein or specification that, you know, is not included in the contract. So it's very much at their sole discretion and for what price or conditions that they offer, you know, at delivery or, you know, when the sale is executed. So it really is important for, you know, farmers to, you know, fully understand, you know, what quality specifications are required for them to execute the contract. So we have the base, you know, grade that's, you know, provided by the Canadian Grain Commission. That's well understood and it's transparent. But in addition to that, are there other specifications? So, you know, what is the expectation of a falling number? You know, is it, you know, is there something that, you know, farmers are expected to meet? Are there specifications related to mycotoxins such as DON? You know, are there crop protection products or varieties that, you know, will not be permitted in that given crop year? So there's a lot of questions that, you know, should be asked, you know, right from the get-go to fully understand what you're expected to deliver against or deliver to meet the contract specifications.
With regards to disputes between the producer and grain company in terms of the grade or quality, what options do producers have in terms of dispute resolution processes?
Yeah, so it's a great question, and one I, you know, wish that more producers were aware of and that would even use, is that underneath, you know, under the Canada Grain Act and Canada Grain Regulations, you know, producers that deliver grain to a primary elevator have the right to a second opinion by the Canadian Grain Commission. And that second opinion could cover grade, moisture, and or dockage. So if a producer, you know, for any reason doesn't agree with one of those three factors, you know, they can ask to have a sample sent to the Canadian Grain Commission for something that's called final quality determination. And then once it's sent to the Grain Commission, it's looked at by one of their inspectors, and then they'll issue the final determination, which the grain sale would then be based on. So the program was just changed in the fall, so producers now have up to 7 days to ask for a second opinion. Prior to that was right at delivery, so it does add some more flexibility into the process and, you know, better reflects, you know, how delivery is happening in country. So we're pretty happy to see those changes. A couple things to watch out for It doesn't have to be grade, moisture, and dockage. It could be, you know, if you just disagree with the grade, you can just ask for a second opinion on grade. Or if you don't, if you disagree with the moisture, you could just ask for a second opinion on moisture. It doesn't have to be all three. The service is also only available on CGC grades. So things like falling number or dawn, those are considered non-CGC quality factors. So those would not fall underneath this protection or this service. And as well, it's only available at primary elevators. So not so much an issue for wheat farmers, but on canola, anyone that's developing or delivering to a process elevator, you know, does not have right to this service.
Oh, that's great advice on a great tool for sure. So shifting gears a bit to maybe a year that producers would like to forget, but surely won't. When we talk about 2021, that year highlighted a lot of issues when it came to grain marketing and contracts. Because you've dealt so much with contracts, what were some of the main lessons that you were made aware of from the result of that year?
Yeah, and so hopefully, you know, 2021 will be a year that I don't think we'll easily forget on the Canadian prairies. And it was unique in that, you know, there was widespread drought right throughout. And normally in a given year, there's pockets of production shortfalls or there's pockets of grading issues. But in 2021, you know, it was pretty, everyone was impacted. So I think, you know, in terms of lessons specifically around liquidated damages in contracts, so all contracts, you know, have a liquidated damage clause in them. There's a lot of variability between grain companies, and the liquidated damages are normal in grain contracts. And really, their goal is to lay out what the cost is to the buyer should the seller, you know, breach or terminate the contract, and also they'll lay out the cost to the seller should, you know, the buyer be in breach or terminate the contract. So it's there for a transparency piece and to understand what the cost would be. So what happened in 2021, I think we realized there was a lot of, you know, questions and a gray area around the formula that's used to calculate liquidated damages. So that price differential. So it's normally, you know, the contract cost and what else? Is it the market price? Is it the replacement cost in to replace, you know, the grain at the time? And in 2021, there's no grain available, so that complicated that. Is it the value of the bid price? Is it cost to buy out a hedge position? So there's a lot of variability and there was a lot of confusion in terms of how that price was calculated. You know, we also saw that some contracts contained, you know, administration fees. Not all of them do, so that's, you know, something that maybe, you know, farmers, you know, should look out for. And these fees really could range anywhere from $10 to $30. And those were on top of, you know, the liquidated damage, like that price differential. And then we saw also those, you know, high interest rates and potential for legal fees, you know, as well, that was written into grain contracts. So, you know, a lot of questions in terms of what the different terms meant and, you know, how a grain company was interpreting them and, you know, how they were going to be applied to farmers' buyouts.
Right. And we've obviously already talked about, you know, the importance of reading through the entire contract. But are there some other best practices that farmers, you know, can have in their toolbox to implement if they're unsure if they will be able to meet the production for their contractual obligations going forward?
Yeah, and I think there's two things here. One is, you know, as a farmer, if you expect that you are going to be short on production or you're not going to be able to meet, you know, the full volume requirement, I think there's some, you know, maybe not so much in 2021, but there may be some other things that you could do where you could, you know, buy grain from a neighbor to deliver against a contract. Maybe you can assign the contract to another farmer, or maybe you could roll the contract over to another year or to another commodity, you know, when it does work out for you. So those are maybe available in the larger picture. In 2021, I don't think those options were there. But one of the lessons that we did learn in 2021 is that we did engage, you know, a team of lawyers to help us better understand liquidated damages and how, you know, farmers experience. And one of the questions that we were asked and that, you know, they were able to provide some insight on was around terminating a contract. So essentially, both parties, you know, a buyer and a seller, seller can terminate a grain contract at any time, providing that they're willing to pay the liquidated damages. So their recommendation to us was that, you know, if a farmer, you know, should, you know, realistically assess what production they have in their field, you know, and to really look at the impact of what had happened, what, you know, the impact of terminating a contract. And if they, there's no other options and they, you know, want to execute that option, is that they should, you know, reach out to the grain company earlier on in the process and inform them and say, you know, I would like to terminate my contract. You know, please, you know, move forward and calculate liquid damages on this date. And then therefore, you know, that creates a timestamp of when damages are to be calculated. So one of the lessons from 2021 is that I think what happened was, you know, in July, you know, in August, we heard, you know, significant concerns from farmers that, you know, the yields weren't there and they were not going to get a crop off. So they were going to their grain companies and communicating, saying like, look, I don't think I have enough quality. I don't think I have enough volume. Like, what are my options? And then their grain buyer, you know, who also needed to fulfill their contract, or saying, well, just hold off, you know, until, you know, your harvest or your crop is off, and then we'll know for sure what quality, what quantity that you have. And by that time, you know, there wasn't enough volume and the market had already risen, which, you know, which then for made those liquidated damages so much larger. So, you know, by getting that record of communication in there early and terminating early and getting that date stamp, you know, you could have, you know, saved on that rising market.
Right. Absolutely. Yeah. That's great advice for producers going forward. And so, you know, 2021 was a unique year for sure, with given the dry conditions, and that's when we began to hear a lot of concerns about contracts and producers, you know, not being able to fulfill them. But, you know, are there contract issues that have popped up in other years that you've maybe seen, you know, and are there some that are common year to year, depending on regionality?
Yeah, and I wouldn't say that, you know, the contract issues were unique to 2021 per se. I think farmers have been expressing concerns with grain contracts now for years, you know, particularly around quality and delivery terms, where, you know, 2021 just intensified, you know, some of the, the contract, you know, their imbalance and some of the questions around how they're applied. You know, for example, back in 2014, you know, it was that year we had a, you know, larger production. It was a colder winter than normal. And we had, you know, significant problems with the railways, you know, moving grain off the prairies. So there was a lot of questions at that time around contracts and, you know, having initial delivery period and then the grain companies being able to extend the delivery period. So that highlighted some of those concerns or some of the imbalance around the delivery portion of grain contracts. Over the years, we've seen a lot of questions on quality as, you know, end use markets have changed. You know, more and more requirements are being asked of farmers. You know, those, you know, also get elevated about how they're treated in contracts, you know, how, you know, what are the requirements of farmers. So, you know, that's there's always issues per se with grain contracts. 2021, you know, while it was devastating for many, you know, it just highlighted the many, you know, and built on the many contract issues that, you know, farmers have expressed over the years.
Right. And that speaks, you know, to the value of the guide that you guys have put together for grain contracts. Okay. So, you know, you touched on the ability for both producers and grain companies to cancel contracts. From the perspective of a producer, is there, you know, a best practice on how to do this and how to notify your grain company that you will be canceling the contract?
Yeah, and certainly. So, yeah, I did kind of mention earlier that so either party, you know, can essentially, you know, terminate a contract at either time, providing that they're willing to pay the damages. So in terms of best practices, you know, as a farmer, before you decide to go down this route, you know, number one would be to fully and realistically assess, you know, what your production is and fully understand the impact of going down that road. So how will this impact other open contracts? You know, is there other business dealings that, you know, could be impacted, you know, around like crop inputs or another side of the business. And, you know, if you decide that it's the best decision for your farm, all contracts should be formally terminated in writing. They should be done as soon as you know and you're confident that there is an issue. It should be done using unambiguous language that is fully dated, so you have that timestamp. So by sending, you know, putting this formal record and sending it to the grain company, you're also, invoking, you know, by terminating the contract, the grain company then has to go out and mitigate its damages. So they cannot take on more costs associated with that contract after that you've terminated it. So, you know, that record, you know, could be an email, it could be in writing, but something that clearly says that I would like to, terminate X contract for this product on this date. Please, you know, go ahead and calculate liquidated damages.
And so one thing I noticed, comparing the third edition of the guide to the fourth edition, was the inclusion of a section on declarations, a dedicated section. And so could you just review this this particular section for our listeners?
Yeah, so, you know, delivery declarations are really, you know, something that we've been using on the prairies for quite some time. So I think there's a few things to kind of highlight with them. So a delivery declaration is essentially an extension of your grain contract. So when you sign it, you know, you are agreeing to the terms and conditions in it. So that's kind of an important piece to read and understand because you can be held, you know, liable should, you know, something happen after the fact. There was also back, you know, to comply with the Canada-US-Mexico agreement, you know, declarations were changed on the prairies, where underneath the Canada grain regulations, declarations to declare the variety that's grown is registered in Canada was included under the regulation, so now is a legal requirement. So that's a change that was, you know, not there in 2013. So essentially now, when you look at a declaration, you'll see two parts of it. So the first part will be to guarantee that the variety that you've used is registered in Canada, and that is to comply with the Canada-US-Mexico agreement and the change to the regulation. And the second part of the declaration will be in relation to, you know, the grain company requirements. So it can contain anything from, you know, a crop protection tool that's not going to be permitted in that given crop year, unregistered varieties that will not be accepted, or, you know, potentially things around plant breeders' rights. So those are a different part now. So there's two parts to that declaration. So that's different from 2013 to, or the third edition to now.
Okay, thanks for that. And so lastly, I will open the mic up to you. If you have any more thoughts on before we conclude and wrap things up here.
Big thanks again for inviting us here and to talk about our guide. And, you know, for farmers who are interested in learning more and would like to know where they could find the resource, it is available at knowyourgrade.ca. There's a tab for contracts where it can be downloaded, as well as other resources such as a session that we organized with grain, with the lawyers, as well as other, you know, short articles on what to do short situation or best contract management practices, as well as anyone who would like a written copy, you know, feel free to contact our head office here in Winnipeg, so Canadian Canola Growers Association. It's available at ccga.ca. Our address is available there. So again, big thanks for inviting me, and we look forward to continued engagement on this topic.
Well, and thank you very much, Janelle, for joining us today and taking time to provide some very useful commentary on grain contracts and on the guide to grain contracts. Us at Saskweet commend you and the CCGA for ongoing efforts to address this important issue through the publication and the promotion of the Practical Guide to Navigating Grain Contracts. Thanks.
Thank you for listening to the Wheat Profit Podcast. For more information on wheat agronomy, policy and advocacy, and wheat research, please visit our website at saskwheat.ca.